You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And welcome into Fantasy Sports Today. Kevin Walsh here, your host. No Mike Blewett today, so we get the absolute pleasure of being joined by the man himself, George Kurtz. George, how's it doing?
Doing well, Kevin. Always good to be working with you. No Mike Blewett. Shame. Actually, I worked with Mike Blewett for 3, 4, 5 years, so I miss Mike,
yeah.
My little Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
At some point, I got to ask Mike about LeBron James. We'll get there. You know, George, I originally wanted to open the show with some nice talk about the importance of GMs as we're seeing them be aggressive and perhaps they're undervalued, yada, yada, yada. Just throw that out the window. We can just get straight into it because yesterday the NFL went wild with the trades. This could perhaps be a trend that we're going to see more. The most active team, the Cleveland Browns, they opened the day with Jarvis Landry. They closed it by getting rid of Kaiser, bringing in corner Demarius Randle, moving some picks around. But I would say the big trade came in the middle when they got Tyrod Taylor from the Buffalo Bills in exchange for the 65th overall pick. That's going to be the first pick in the third round. What was your initial reaction to that move?
Who do they now take with the number one pick in April? That was my initial, because it opens up some doors for them. They don't necessarily have to take a quarterback with that pick, especially if they're not sold on Sam Darnold or, you know, whoever it might be, Mayfield, whoever it is. They don't have to. They can go Barkley now, you know, who's great. That has more, probably has more height than anyone in this draft, mm-hmm. and a lot of people believe he's the best player in this draft. Mm-hmm. So that was my first reaction here. Taylor gives them that veteran bridge now, where they can, you know, whoever they dealt with, if it's Rosen, they can sit him a year, redshirt him a year, and you know, have Taylor take over, take Barkley. You know, now this is very interesting. Well, they go out and sign a veteran. Maybe they sign a Case Keenum. I don't think it's Kirk Cousins. I don't think Cousins is going there, but maybe it's Kirk Cousins. And then it allows them to pretty much take two of the best players in the draft and maybe the two best players outside of quarterbacks in the draft.
I totally agree in terms of this now freeing them up to take Barkley at one. I think that's really after the way the combine went and the way people are talking about this kid, that this is what the Browns want to do. They want to secure the best player. That's what they did last year with Myles Garrett, and I think that's what they're trying to do again with Barkley. And I think for them, now that you have Tyrod Taylor there, we know for a fact, I would feel at least comfortable saying that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback for them next year, regardless if they took a quarterback at one or at four. So it now kind of gives them security to where if their guy isn't there at four, then maybe they're able to just move on from it and take two of the top players. Maybe they go and grab Minka Fitzpatrick or a Bradley Chubb out of NC State. I do also think it could be in play that the Browns then do what they love to do and trade back from four for perhaps a quarterback needy team, and they just look to continue to add more talent and they push forward with Tyrod Taylor. Are you high on Tyrod Taylor? He seems to be one of the more polarizing quarterbacks that the league has to offer right now.
Am I high on Taylor? No. I think he's an average NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think for Cleveland, he'd be what he'd be, a bridge. I do not think they'll trade back from four. Remember, this is a new regime there. Outside mm-hmm. of Jackson, like, you know, it's a new GM. They got some of the best, brightest front office minds in the game now. I'd be shocked if they don't take a quarterback with one or four. I think it's going to be four, not one. I think Barkley is going to be the pick right now, March 10th, at four. But I don't think But I don't think they're going to trade back, unless that's a whopper of an offer to not take a quarterback. Because here's the problem. I mean, it's a good problem to have. I don't think they're going winless again next season. All right, so you're not going to have the number one pick
right.
again. So get your quarterback. There's a whole bunch out there. I think it's even better if they can't make up their mind who the number one guy is, Donald, Rose, and somebody else. Mm. Well, now it'll still be made up for them.
I think that's fair. Before we go to the other side of these Browns moves, the one thing that is being talked about now is the fact that the Bills are pretty much quarterbackless. They're not going to move forward with Nathan Peterman, at least certainly not to be guaranteed their starter on opening day next year. The 65th pick is pretty valuable, I would say, first pick in the third round. They're continuing to collect assets. I believe they have 5 picks within the top 65, and pretty much now everybody is expecting this team to jump up into at least the top 10 in the draft and take their future quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, we know it's not going to be Peterman. They didn't like Taylor. You know, they were sort of talked into keeping him before last season. And, you know, they benched him at Peterman this year in that disaster against the Chargers. I'm assuming they'll make a run at some of the free agent quarterbacks, but if the price is out of their whack. Maybe they don't believe in Keenum. I don't. Once again, I don't think Cousins is going there. Mm. So I don't think that's an option for him. Not that he's the end all the be all anyway. But I just don't think he ends up there. I mean, Sam Bradford, we're sort of forgetting about him. But then again, he gets hurt. If you sign Bradford. Right. And you don't have anybody else. Well, you still need somebody else because you know he's not playing 16 games here. So, I agree. I think Buffalo's going to have to find a way to trade up to get their quarterback.
Yeah, and there was a report from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk saying perhaps that this could be the first of a Browns-Bills trade, suggesting maybe that they would make a move. But I tend to agree with you. I don't think the Browns are going to be super keen on moving back. And even if the Bills are willing to give up the two first-round picks they have this year, next year's first-round pick, it's still a big way to go from 21 all the way up to 4. That seems far too steep of a move, I think.
I agree. No, I don't think they're going to do that. Once again, you have to take your quarterback. Taylor is he's an NFL quarterback, but he's an average one. He's not going to lead you anywhere. You know, so you're going to need to get somebody better. I don't think they're going to be in this position all that often again, where they're going to have a top pick here, because this team is loaded now. Yeah. You know, they're making the right moves in free agency. They still have a ton of draft picks and a ton of cap space.
Yep.
We forget what they might do in free agency to acquire more players here. So I don't think they're going to be in necessarily, a top three pick for the near future. So I think they have to take quarterback at 4. It's a quarterback heavy draft. It's not the kind of draft where it's an obvious, where, it's a Carson Wentz, it's an Andrew Luck, where this guy's going to be great. Mm. But like I said, I think they have to go. They can't do this again, right? And pass up on a cornerback. They passed up on Wentz. You can't keep doing this.
I agree. I think that they passed up on Wentz. They passed up on Watson. And the problem with both of that is the fact that it was their picks that they traded. If they traded the 4th pick and the best quarterback in this draft got picked again, I don't think that they'd be able to live with themselves. The other marquee move that this team made was acquiring Jarvis Landry. We knew that Landry was going to be out in Miami. A lot of people talking about the Bears, talking about the Ravens. It ends up being the Browns that get it done. And they didn't give up a ton. I guess really the big hit would more so come on the contract extension that the two sides are going to be working out. Your thoughts on Jarvis to Cleveland?
Interesting. Once again, it's hard to have any thoughts there until who's going to be the long-term quarterback there? Mm-hmm. His value, in my mind, does go down next season, especially in PPR leagues, because he's not going to catch as many passes.
Right.
I mean, Taylor, he's just not. He's got to get to know a new offense there. It's good for Cleveland. He gives him a legitimate threat there. A slot guy, probably good for the outside receivers. Coleman maybe gets a little bit more loose there. If they get Barkley, I mean, this is how you think about it. Taylor, Barkley, Landry, Coleman, Njoku at tight end. The offense is there.
And Josh Gordon.
Right. Josh Gosumin, he's around there. It's not world-beater. It's not a world-beating offense. It's not the Green Bay Packers or the Patriots, but it's a solid offense. It's certainly a very good nucleus. Plus, you throw in their number one quarterback there. It's an offense that can do some damage here. So I'm curious to see what they do as well. Fantasy-wise, I am dropping Landry. He'll be a low-end wide receiver two for me, mainly because, as I mentioned, I don't think he catches anywhere near 100 passes anymore. Right. Maybe it's down to 75, 80. Still valuable, but he was never a yards after the catch guy, never a yak guy. He's pretty much catch it and get tackled. Outside of last year, not really a touchdown guy, so I wonder if that's a sign of things to come or no. So I like Landry, but I think this might be a better NFL move than fantasy one.
I think that that's spot on. The one thing I saw that I think there could be something to, but I think it would be foolish. However, it's the Browns, so I can't fully rule it out, is the idea that they may try and force the ball a little bit in Jarvis's direction, because they're now probably going to give him a sizable contract. The fact that he'll probably be their highest paid receiver, but I can't put too much stock into that, because I feel very confident that Josh Gordon is more talented. And I think that Corey Coleman is good, as you mentioned, and Njoku's good. And the fact that they can have Saquon Barkley run behind an offensive line that everybody was super high on last year. Remember, we were all talking about the potential for Isaiah Crowell to have a big year. We saw Duke Johnson do some good things. So if this, as you mentioned there, that potential offense that they could put out on the field, there's just a number of weapons. And really, I think you're going to have Barkley be a clear guy because everybody's excited if he ends up there, and Josh Gordon because he's clearly the most talented. But I think you're totally right there, that you're going to see a comfortable dip in where Jarvis is going to be going in a lot of these leagues.
Yeah, I said, I understand that he had Jay Cutler, he had Ryan Taylor. Not like he had great quarterbacks anyway. Mm-hmm. But Tyrod Taylor is not, he's just a notch below those guys. So I think it's a good NFL move. I think it opens up the offense. I think, once again, especially if Barkley's there, they're going to see a lot of eight-man fronts trying to stop him, because he's one-on-one coverage everywhere. I mean, Barkley and Josh Gordon alone could be a dynamic duo there, because you're going to have to sort of pick your death there. Do you double cover Gordon? Do you keep a safety high? You play cover two? If you do, then Barkley's going to go bananas. If you move a safety down into the box to stop Barkley, then forget it. Gordon's running one-on-one. I mean, it'll be very intriguing to see what they can do here.
You know, I'll tell you, this is part of the reason why I wonder if Kirk Cousins was going to give them consideration, because of the potential to have just a ton of offensive weapons there for him. Ultimately, it does not seem like the Browns are going to be in the position. A lot of people feel like it's pretty comfortably down to the Vikings and the Jets, which I think is totally fair. And obviously, I would say the Browns are now out with the fact that Tyrod Taylor is there. But that's why I thought they could have been an interesting landing spot. Could you imagine if you had all of those weapons, plus a guy like Kirk Cousins, who's proven himself, at least certainly in the fantasy world?
It would have been more dynamic. Listen, I don't think Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback, not at all. But, you know, he's a solid quarterback. You know, he can throw the football. You know, he's got an arm. He can wing it around there. I think the problem is this. You know, I thought about this as well. I'm like, oh, they could still sign Cousins. Well, no, they won't, though. Because he's going to need, let's say, at least, depending on the contract. I mean, they could say it's a 7-year contract, but most contracts, as far as the guaranteed money, are 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. So he's got to have at least 3 years, maybe 4 years, because he's a quarterback. Well, what are you going to do with that rookie you take at the fourth overall pick? He's not going to play for 4 years?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, because he's on the rookie contract then. They're not going to do a Garoppolo and not play him. They're not going to. They won't sign Cousins. They'll draft their quarterback of the future at 4. Cousins, I agree with you. I think it's Minnesota. Originally, I did think it was the Jets. Now I think everything's pointing towards Minnesota. We heard rumors that they offered him a 3-year, $91 million contract, where most of the 91 was guaranteed. I think if that was true, he'd have signed it automatically. How could he not? But that's the last we heard, and I think he wants to go to. Wouldn't you want to go to Minnesota? Go to a winner? I would.
I think that's the thing for Cousins, and this is why I felt like, honestly, Denver was kind of going to be out of it, because they don't offer a winning situation anywhere near as good as Minnesota, and that's why I felt like it was going to be either the winning situation in Minnesota, or unless, you know, the Jets just came with a ludicrous contract, which I guess could still be in play. But that's the thing, is Minnesota should be able to offer him the money plus the winning situation. He gets to stay within the NFC, which maybe doesn't matter all too much, but at least there's some familiarity there. I really do think that Minnesota is firmly in the position, and I think that that also makes a big difference in terms of draft day, because you've got the Broncos and the Jets as two teams that are going to be vying for quarterbacks. So if they're both entering draft day without an answer, even if one of those teams signed Case Keenum, they're probably going to still be in a similar spot with the Browns, where they're trying to bring in a future quarterback. So you could have the Browns, the Broncos, the Jets all looking quarterback, with perhaps teams like the Dolphins, who are rumored to want to move up. The Bills, as we've just said, are wanting to move up. I mean, that's five teams right there that are all going to potentially be hoping to find their future quarterback on draft day.
Yeah. You mentioned it. A quarterback is always, you know, it's like, you know, the big red tag sale item on draft picks on draft day, right? Because everyone, if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win in the NFL without one.
Right.
You know, just like in the NHL, I'm a big hockey guy. You can't win in the NHL without a goaltender. In my mind, those are the two most important positions in sports: goaltender and football and quarterback. If you don't have one, you're not winning. So, yes, we're going to see some trades. You know, the Giants are interesting at 2.
Yeah.
Let's say you and I are right. Let's say Barkley goes at 1. Well, the Giants hold a lot of cards at 2. And there's a lot of rumors, you know, I'm here in New York, that Giants, yeah, they don't really want to take quarterback at 2, which is strange, because Eli Manning was, even the nicest of grades, was below average last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's 36. He's not going to play long anyway. You once again, you're a Giants team. You're not going to be in this position all that often. I understand. You might. What did you say to get the 4-2 number one, 2-1s this year, 1 next year, Lord knows what else. I understand that sounds great, but you still don't have a quarterback.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and I understand. And listen, we've watched the Philadelphia Eagles make a move after move this offseason to make themselves an even better team. Mm-hmm. You know, the Rams are going, you know, they're going batshit, and they're trading draft picks, and all of a sudden they look like a great. It's going to be the Rams and Eagles for the next couple of years. I understand that things change in the NFL, but, you know, we see these teams making moves. I just don't think when you have a chance to draft a franchise quarterback, unless the Giants or the Browns or any other team truly believe, you know, these guys are so overrated. Mm-hmm. These guys are not going to be franchise quarterbacks. You know, they're all going to be Ryan Leafs. Unless the Giants truly believe that, you need to take your quarterback when you have the chance. You know, I said NFL, quarterback-driven league, you have to do it. Curious to see what the Giants are going to do, but I think they're the most interesting team at two. And then Indy at three as well, because they have Andrew Luck. They don't need to take a quarterback.
Right.
I'd be shocked if they're not trading out.
I agree with the Colts trading out. I think the thing with the Giants is it does seem pretty confirmed that they're not going to grab quarterback. They seem to move off that idea, but I couldn't agree with you more. Quarterback is king, and Eli has not given this team reason to believe that he's going to be a long-term option. I think they're going to try to squeeze 2 years out of him, but I don't love that decision. The Giants are a franchise that are going to pride themselves on not being in this position again, so why not capitalize when you are there? I don't think that we have to go through the charade of pretending that Davis Webb could offer something to this team. I just don't see him being with the same upside of these guys like Darnold or Rosen. And I really think the big thing for the Giants is the offensive core that they have in place. Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. Pair that with a young quarterback and watch them all grow together. I just feel like that would be a much better decision. But they've now seen that they're firmly off this idea of being able to grab a quarterback. And I get why, because they feel like they can win, but I do wonder if I feel like they really want Saquon Barkley now, the Giants, and if he's off, does that maybe reevaluate what they're doing? And now they're saying to themselves, you know what, let's go out and then grab our quarterback. It's so crazy to have this many quarterbacks and a running back's going to dictate so much. There were so many more trades, so much more to get to. George and I will be doing that on the other side. Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
And we are back here on Fantasy Sports Today. Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz taking you up until noon. We're getting into this quarterback discussion. And the man Corey Parsons decided to stop on in and let us know what he thinks. He feels like the Giants should not be looking quarterback at two. Tell us why, Corey.
I don't really like the quarterbacks at the top of the board except for Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. And I don't think the Giants are interested in one of those guys. I don't trust Allen and Rosen and Darnold. I don't think they're franchise quarterbacks. So if you take that quarterback at two, you understand when you take a franchise quarterback in the first round and he doesn't hit, it sets you back at least 4 years. And you'll be back in this same position again. I don't think none of these guys are can't miss. I think you can get a couple bridge quarterbacks and put it together with the talent. I don't think Barkley's going to be there for them. I really think they should trade down and try to accumulate some more picks. And that's where I think they should go.
I think it's... All right. Go ahead, George.
No, go ahead. Do a follow-up. Go ahead. I'll talk to Corey.
I was just going to say, I think that it's totally fair that it could set them back. But I do think that the idea of them being able to marry a young quarterback with their young core is something that would be ideal, because I don't know how much more they're going to be able to squeeze out of Eli Manning. Now, if they feel, as you feel, that you can't trust any of these guys, then absolutely it's a huge mistake to force it. You can't force quarterbacks. I think that's one of the things that teams can sometimes make the mistake of, is telling themselves they need quarterback. But if you don't like any of them, then you have to, then don't take one. You can't also be the Browns and be scared to pull the trigger like they've been the past couple of years. Though you were just talking about, just before we just started here, is that Odell now could be in some trouble. There's a video circulating of him using some recreational things. There's a lady friend in the video.
He's smoking a brown cigarette.
He's got a lady friend in the video doing some harder recreational things. It's Not ideal timing when he's looking for this contract extension, I would say, certainly.
No, it's not. It's going to be a hit towards him. Obviously, as the story breaks and more people begin to know about it and it begins to trend, he'll deny it or say it's old or from the past or something like that. Bottom line of the matter is, it's out there. And we continue to see these things with Odell Beckham. And I've tried to say, listen, at some time the kid will mature. No real big off-the-field stuff. Now you're seeing more off-the-field stuff, especially this right here. And all, the more interesting thing in the video is he tells the woman, if you listen to the audio, he says, no, I'm going to go to sleep. You sleep with somebody else. Oh, I'm sorry. but if you listen to the audio. But, yeah, no, it's not a good look for Odell Beckham. So the Giants are in an interesting spot right now with this, with Eli and getting older and Beckham and this draft pick, and Barkley's not going to be there. So they're in a tough spot. I would not want to be the New York Giants right now. And the play for the Giants is Case Keenum, because he might be able to bring some stability because of his relationship with Shermer. He can run Shermer's offense.
Well, Keenum's not going there. They can't afford to pay Eli and Keenum. That's not going to happen. And I think the Giants made a mistake last year. I think they should have I think when they benched Eli, I mean, benching him with Geno Smith was stupid. That you can't do. Everybody knew that was going to be a PR nightmare. They probably should have benched him for Webb and seen what the kid can do. At the very least, they should have seen what Webb can do at the end of the season. I think the fact that they didn't tells you all you need to know about what they think about Webb. The problem with this, I agree with Corey. If you don't believe in these quarterbacks, then you can't take one or two. The problem is you can't just say, well, you know, then you take whatever, the best linebacker, best wide receiver, and you worry about this next year. Giants aren't going to be at number two next year. At least odds are against it. You know, so that's your issue here. How often are you going to be in a position to take a top quarterback? You know, like I said, unless the Giants believe all these guys are Ryan Leafs, so we can go on through the years where quarterbacks have busted in the first round, it does happen. You know, how often are you going to get a chance to take your choice of quarterbacks, especially on a quarterback-heavy draft? Most years, you're not going to have four quarterbacks that are really first-round worthy. Maybe not top-of-the-draft worthy. Mm. You know, if they get taken at the top of the draft, because once again, quarterback-driven league here. As far as Odell Beckham, he could be a nightmare for the Giants, because Mike Evans just signed the big contract extension with, what, 55 guarantee, whatever it was, being paid right behind Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Beckham's better than Evans. He's going to want more money than that. Plus, his video comes up, and the comment, the audio that Corey mentioned is hilarious. Wouldn't we all like to be in a position where we can say, nah, go sleep with somebody else. I'm tired. good for him, man. I think I'd be awake, but hey, that's just me.
Well, let me ask you
get
this
some caffeine.
Do you think that the Giants should really consider moving on from Odell?
They should walk.
Let him walk?
When the contract expires, if trade him or let him, if you plan on letting him, I wouldn't want to deal with it.
I think
New York is too
big. Would you franchise him? Or is that a nightmare too?
I don't know if he'll play.
If you put him on the franchise tag,
that's what I mean. Is that a nightmare too?
Yeah. I think that might make the whole thing worse. The one thing is, so Le'Veon Bell said that he's now cool with the franchise tag, but he's saying, look, I'm doing exactly what I did last year. You will not see me at OTAs.
Yeah.
You will not see me during the preseason. I will be there week one. I will ball out, and we will move on from there. I can't imagine that Odell is going to. I mean, he's already said on Twitter, I'm not playing in the preseason.
Yeah.
So I mean, you start with the franchise stuff. You already know that even if you give him an extension, he's not showing up preseason. Maybe he'll be their OTA. So you get into the tag, and that could start to make this whole thing avalanche.
If you're the Giants at this time next year, I would try to trade him around this time next year, see what the market is, and then have that team take it on and have that team deal with the contract, because he's not ready yet. He's not ready mentally yet. The talent is supreme, but he's got some things he's got to work out.
I wonder, do you think the Giants, though, should feel like they can work it out? New head coach in the building, new GM in the building. I mean, if this was last year's regime, I mean, it'd be over. He'd walk in and he'd be like, yeah, I did it. McAdoo.
If it was last year's regime, you're right.
I mean, this is a different regime. Gettleman is trying, I think, to position himself where everyone feels like he's a very stern,
hard-ass NFL.
So, I mean, that's a fair point. Odell probably will soon be on that list. It's tough to move a guy that's that talented is he even in his prime yet? He's, what, 25?
You're right. He's got his best years are ahead of him. So it would be tough to move him, but what do? You put yourself in a situation where he's going to hold you hostage.
It's not the first problem he's had. I mean, he's had issues on the field with Josh Norman, with the kicking net. I mean, it's a tough call because he is a superstar player. to just let him walk
he's
here.
He's a celebrity.
He's going to cause more problems.
Yeah, he's a celebrity.
He's going to cause more problems.
So we have Evans. It was 5 years, $82.5 million. He got 55 guaranteed. Came out to it's 16.5 a year. Antonio makes 17 a year. Odell said that he wants something in the range of $20 million. I don't think the Giants will want that, but Odell's going to want to be the highest paid. So say it's $18 million a year. I mean, I think
they're going asking for 25. I think he's trying to get quarterback.
It's all about the guaranteed money, though. That's all that matters.
He's going to want quarterback. He's going to want quarterback money. He's going to want to be paid like a quarterback.
The lowest you'll be able to get by with is probably 18, which is a million more than what Antonio makes. I mean, let's say you're a team like the Niners. All is cap space. Jimmy Garoppolo's improving. Kyle Shanahan's the mastermind. You add Odell Beckham in there. Are you okay taking on that risk if you're the 49ers and trust yourselves to figure this out?
Then you run the risk of becoming one of these dream type teams. Because Richard Sherman is going to sign there because he wants to hand it to Seattle. So Richard Sherman is going to sign there. So now you really get a whole cast of characters in this locker room with everybody making big money. And then you say, go out there and win the Super Bowl.
Boom!
Yeah, exactly. You see what the Rams are doing? You see how the Rams are bolstering their secondary? Mm-hmm. The Rams, they know that they have to deal with Jimmy Garoppolo. So they're getting ready. They're getting their secondary together, you know, and trying to make it more difficult for them that way. It's going to be interesting to see how San Fran and L.A. play it out this year, especially this offseason as they try to vie for talent. Because, look, I'm quite sure Sammy Watkins is going to want to look into what's going on in Seattle. In San Fran, so would Allen Robinson. It's a hot place to be right now, and Odell is probably not fit for that yet.
It'll be interesting.
Odell's going to need a strong head coach, guys. He's going to need someone who can rein him in. He's not going to New England. He's not going to Bill Belichick.
Mike
he's going to need someone who can – Tomlin would make sense, but the Pittsburgh can't afford him.
Are the Steelers like?
They would never pay him.
Martavis Bryant though is a mess.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like this,
you're right. You're right. Tomlin's got some problems. When he want to, you know, show up when he want to.
I don't know if the Steelers are the answer to that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know who's the answer.
It could to
be.
That.
Is it John Gruden? Is it Oakland?
John Gruden, I think, would just love him. I think he'd be so excited with how good he is. But it's whatever.
But that's also a team that doesn't have the cap room to do.
That's true.
Yeah. We're saying how much money he wants here. Team's got to be flush with cash because they're going to. If Evans got $55 million guaranteed, you're talking at least $60 million for Odell.
Oh yeah,
that's a lot. That's close to quarterback money, just guaranteed money just for Odell. And plus, you have to have the need for him, and you have to be able to think you can control him. You know, and most teams can't do this. Or an owner will make them, or a GM will make a mistake thinking they can. It'll just implode your locker room. So that's where it's gonna limit down what teams you can go to. You know, that's a lot of cash for a quarterback. He's not going to get $25 million. He can try all he wants. He's not going to get 20. Yeah. You know, teams are going to be extremely reluctant to go past Antonio Brown, especially with his history. And his video that comes out hurts him. You know, because there'll be language in the contract as well in case he gets suspended. So it's curious what happens with Odell. Great talent, but like so many receivers before him, it's an extreme diva position.
I think the one thing with Odell that you do run the risk with is that he is right now firmly a top five wide receiver, and the best years are ahead of him. And if you trade him, you can tell he's a major chip on his shoulder type of guy. And if all of a sudden he's like, all right, I messed up, let me get this right, the Giants will forever, I mean, for the next, what, decade, at least half a decade, watch Odell be the best receiver in the league. I think you have to, at some times, though, trust yourself internally to rein him in.
Well, you got to say to yourself, he's the best player that we have.
Clearly.
Yes, he's the best player that we have. You know, I heard the stat this week. They haven't, it's been 33 games without them scoring 30 points.
Yeah.
This guy's the best offensive player they have.
Yeah.
Maybe ever their best offensive player in New York Giant history. You can't score without him, so you kind of got to try to figure out ways to figure it out. I think a franchise tag is coming, and it's going to be a situation where it's going to get ugly.
Well, the franchise tag deadline's passed, though, right? Isn't
it'll be next year this time. He'll get
next year. Plus, if they trade him, remember, they pretty much can only trade him to 15 teams. Because they won't trade within a division.
No,
so you forget the Cowboys, Redskins, and Eagles. They won't want to trade him to the NFC. You know, because once again, they don't want him to come back and haunt them. And you know they're not going to trade him to the Jets. That's not going to happen. So, you know, it limits their options
here. The Patriots, they won't trade him to New England either.
Yeah, now you're down to 14 teams. You know, it won't be. And listen, I don't see teams giving up major all these trades we're seeing now, which is fun, but they're all going for nothing better than a third.
Yep.
You know, and Odell, I don't think we'll get that much more than that because teams aren't going to want to pay a man a gazillion dollars and have with his volatile history here. So I think Corey may end up being right here again. I think franchise and roll the dice, see how he accepts that. Is he going to be like Le'Veon Bell? I'm not showing up to anything but the games, which is fine.
Well, is he going to show up now without an extension?
He'll show up.
He says he'll show up for everything, anything but everything, only the games. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what Bell said. He's only showing up for the games. He's not showing up for any mini camps. He's not showing up for training camp. He'll show up whatever it is, Tuesday before week one.
And that makes it difficult for night. But fantasy owners are going to be drafting him as 1-1. You feel what I'm saying? And you're not going to get to see him. It's wild.
I don't need to see Odell. I just need to know he's going to be there. Corey, while you're here, let me ask you, Tyrod Taylor. Are you excited about this? Correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't you high on Isaiah Crowell last year?
Yeah, Isaiah Crowell was my guy.
So if Saquon Barkley ends up behind that offensive line with now a real quarterback, at least, because last year Kaiser was not a real quarterback. Yeah. He actually hurt Crowell's value in pretty much every way possible. If you got Barkley back there with Tyrod Taylor, all these now potential wide receivers, I mean, are we talking Saquon Barkley's top five running back?
I think he's right outside the top five. I would say Saquon Barkley, maybe about running back 6 or 7 right now, somewhere in there. I think you go Gurley, you go Bell, you go Zeke, you go Kareem Hunt, David Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Fournette, and then you probably would go Saquon Barkley.
And there's a couple guys I think that Barkley would find himself ahead of, and depending on the draft. George, is that the ideal spot for Barkley? Cleveland? I guess if we're looking at it where he's going to one of the first three teams, whether it be the Giants, the Colts, or the Browns, is the Browns the ideal spot of the three?
Oh, I think any of the spots could be good. I mean, before we say what the Browns are, what other moves do they make? You and I discuss. I think the offense is be set. It'll be a good, solid offense there, especially if Josh Gordon's around there. Once again, defenses pick your poison. The running backs Corey mentioned, yeah, you probably have to take them ahead of Barkley, but there's also going to be a shiny new toy theory. Because people like the shiny new toy, and that's what Barkley will be. So he'll go against some of these guys. I'm not going to take David Johnson because, you know, they have nobody at quarterback. He's coming off the wrist, blah, blah, blah. People find reasons not to take one of those running backs so they can take the shiny new toy in Barkley. You know, plus all the hype that's going on with Barkley. And he's going to rush for 3,000 yards this year. You know, so it'll certainly play into it.
Young Bo
well,
Jackson.
Listen, Hugh Jackson, here we go. You know, here we go, Hugh. Here we go. This is it right here. This is it. You got this. You have your dream offense
right
here.
He's the luckiest man in America.
My
George, can you? That's crazy, George. You're talking about the sun shining on the dog's ass.
Right? Wins one game, and he won one more game than us three together, by the way.
In 2 years.
He still has a job. In 2 years, still has a job, and now they're making all these moves because they finally hire the right front office people where he actually may, they're going to win some games this year. And I'm talking, when I say some games, I think they'll be, I don't know, I'm not going to go out and say, compete for a playoff spot, but I think they're going to win. I'm going to give Cleveland 6 wins this year.
They could, depending on what they do, they could honestly get near. I wouldn't be surprised if they were near 500, if they got to 500. The thing is with Hugh.
Can they sweep Baltimore? Yeah.
Yes.
Baltimore could be better. Baltimore's a weird team.
They can
need
sweep,
wide
they
receivers.
They can sweep Baltimore. They can sweep Cincinnati. That's 4 right there.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to get 4, but they could.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than them always getting swept in the division.
Right.
Being 0-6.
I don't see them going 0-6 in the division. Well, maybe they go 3-3. That's improvement right there.
I mean, can they be second place in that division?
Anything's improvement. Wins improvement.
Can they be second place to Pittsburgh in that division?
Could they? I mean, could they have one of the, off the top of my head, the 5 best offenses in the AFC? If you look, if they add Barkley, it could be in range.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's one of the interesting things with the Browns is the fact that everyone knows quarterback is king, and quarterback is more valuable than running back time and time again. But the simple fact is, if Saquon Barkley is going to be able to come in and just be as good as everyone says, you've got Tyrod Taylor there.
Put it like this.
You can't pass up.
After you see these what the Cleveland Browns did yesterday, the Giants are on the clock. They can turn the Carter into Saquon Barkley at 1.
I think you're right there. Corey Parsons stopping by. George Kurtz and I will be right back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
And we are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are listening to Fantasy Sports Today with Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz. And before we tell you about all of these other moves that happened in the NFL, I want to tell you about fan-controlled fantasy league. Do you love watching your fantasy player score a winning touchdown? Now imagine you actually got to call that touchdown play. The fan-controlled football league is putting play calling in the hands of fans, with real professional football players running the action. From drafting rosters to voting on trades, the FCFL fan is one part coach, one part GM, and one part owner. This is all done through the fan token. Fans earn fan tokens each time their vote yields a successful outcome. The more fan tokens a fan earns, the greater power is attributed to their vote. So go and visit fcfl.io to learn how to take control. That's fcfl.io now to visit fan-controlled fantasy league. So George, let's get back into some of the other things that happened. Corey alluded to it. We've got Richard Sherman out in Seattle. He's been cut. He's a cap casualty. The reign of the Legion of Boom is over, and it looks like Sherman is probably going to be able to find himself a new home pretty quickly. It looks like the 49ers is where he's going to land.
Yeah, I mean, once again, it's always going to be intriguing. I don't know how, I mean, I know we say this a lot. We say this in pretty much all sports. We've never seen an off season like this, you know, and I wonder if some of these trades, by the way, I wonder if maybe one of them get broken up by the time they could actually become official. Remember, these trades aren't official. They just right. announced they're, I guess, agreed to, but they, it doesn't necessarily mean they're official, because that can't happen until the 14th, which I believe is what, Thursday. So I'm curious. Is that make that Wednesday? I'm just curious if one or two of these break up by then, but because we're hearing all these announcements are technically all illegal.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'll say with the NFL is they've got to just move it so this can be official, because, I mean, it's nonsense. We had, before the Super Bowl even was played, Kirk Cousins was, we knew he was out in Washington because Alex Smith had been traded. I mean, this has been, I understand your point there that we do say this, oh, it's no, we've never seen an offseason like this. But this offseason has been particularly aggressive, and people have said that you could see this coming, that there was going to be a slew of trades because you have younger and more aggressive GMs in charge now that are trying to make moves to continue to compete, to improve their rosters. So there are a lot of people who are reporting that we were going to see a ton of trades, and this could potentially be the trend now where there's just a ton of player moves. I think it's exciting for the NFL. It's exciting for them to be able to have all of this offseason buzz. But it is a little silly that I can't go on NFL.com and pull up the transaction report, because technically none of this has even happened yet.
It is, and I agree. Listen, what are you going to do? That's when the new NFL year starts. Mm-hmm. I kind of find it funny the NFL allows this to be really. How are all these reporters finding it out? Who's saying things? I mean, once again, isn't this technically, these never happened? Nope, don't know what you're talking about.
This would have to be tampering.
You would think, right? I mean, you would think that's what it has to be. I mean, what is Goodell going? La la, he's like a little child covering his ears. La 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 la. I mean, come on, we all know this is stuff happened here. I mean, it's great for us, right?
Right.
You mentioned the one at the Super Bowl was hilarious. I mean, my God, the season's not even over yet. You know, I get the off season stuff happens, but I mean, so it's good, right? Because hey, we got things to talk about, which generally we do not. I guess now we will, but in February, you know, it's usually kind of quiet as far as the NFL is concerned. You know. Super Bowl's ended, not quite free agency yet. You know, I've always wondered why the NFL, I guess in a perfect world, I understand this has to be negotiated with the NFLPA, but shouldn't the draft be earlier? like around this time, then free agency is where you draft the best player you can, and then you hit free agency so you get the players you need that you couldn't get during the draft, rather than vice versa, where sometimes you have to draw during the NFL draft, you have to draft for need rather than best overall player. But my guess is the NFLPA prefers it this way, so their players get the most money possible.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed free agency first. That way you can kind of, I guess it's a little bit easier to get a feel for the draft. Who still needs quarterback is obviously such a big deal, because in the NBA, you have the situation where the Cavs could have a top pick from the Brooklyn Nets, but they have no idea what to do with it because LeBron James could be gone, and they have no idea until the draft is far from over. So I guess it's a situation where it's a matter of preference, but I think you have a point there. Maybe they would be interested in moving the draft up because, I mean, we had a trade in January, which is not allowed. Like, you know, Bill Belichick was so mad because he always talks about how he's starting the offseason late because he has to deal with Super Bowls. Now you're telling him that teams are making trades and he has to sit there and prep for another game. He's probably furious.
Yeah, I feel real bad for Bill. He can't make trades because he's in another Super Bowl. Oh, Bill.
Poor
so
Bill Belichick.
So sorry for you. Yeah, poor Bill Belichick. I found that one funny. Like I said, the fact that the trades are going down and the season's not even over. And the NFL says nothing about this. You know, hey, guys, you know, we don't mind you doing it, but you know, maybe not let Adam Schefter know. You know, take him off the conference call. Can you do me a favor? Take Adam off the conference call. I mean, come on.
Okay, we'll only tell Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport. That's it. That's the only people we'll tell. It's just...
No one will find out.
Yeah.
They'll keep quiet.
they won't tweet it to their million plus Twitter followers. No worries. Let me ask you, though, in terms of... you know, this change that's going on in Seattle, right? I mean, we've got Cam Chancellor and Cliff Averill, I believe it is, who people are expecting to miss already the entire season. Sherman's out. Bennett gets traded to the Eagles. I don't think Earl Thomas will be moved, but there's at least talks of it, so I don't know. His days may be numbered in Seattle, at least past next year. Are we seeing the changing of the guard? Because it felt like there's a little stretch where Arizona and Seattle were clearly on top, but the Niners got Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, a ton of cap space, and clearly John Lynch knows what he's doing. The Rams have been awesome so far in this fake offseason that's not happened. It's not real, but it's happened. And they've got Sean McVay, and they're doing great things. So are we kind of seeing a swap there?
Well, you're not kind of seeing it. It's there.
Yeah?
I mean, I think what you're seeing for the Seahawks is that, you know, one, you mentioned Averill and Chancellor, you know, through injury, probably aren't playing this year. So that, I think that sort of pushed them. Well, you know, we already lost these two guys through nothing we can do about it. So it's time. You know, we're watching the Rams here. They're starting to look like world beaters here. That team is doing everything the right way. And then all of a sudden, the Niners all of a sudden, they finished the season winning five straight games. Now, the Niners still have work to do. But once again, they look like they're on their way up. Arizona on their way down. I think Seattle realizes that we're going to compete. It's now or never here. I think this is way too many changes all at once, mind you. Mm. I mean, you're giving away these players pretty much for nothing.
Right.
I mean, Sherman, all right, when was the last time, because they said, oh, you know, we're going to release you, but, you know, we'll think about signing you to a lesser contract. When was the last time that happened? I mean, that a good player or a star player, I'm not talking a scrub,
yeah,
but a good or star player gets cut, you know, he's technically a free agent and then goes back to the original team. Odds are that's not going to happen. They got rid of Jeremy Lane too, so their secondary is down 3/4 of their members. Bennett, one of the best rushers, is gone. I mean, we already mentioned Chancellor, Averill. I mean, you're losing half your defense here. You know, plus Jimmy Graham's probably not coming back, right? Because he's
right.
A free agent. Paul Richardson, their deep guy, probably not coming back. I understand he's not all that valuable, but now you're talking 8 guys from your starting 22.
Right.
I mean, that's it's more than a 30-year team here. So, yes, the change is in progress here. And listen, it had to happen because I don't know how many Seahawks games you watched last year, but I thought Russell Wilson had to be in the MVP talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a Seahawks fan, and I'm certainly not saying this because Scott Engel is a Seahawks fan. Let's not get on him about it. But Russell Wilson had to be in MVP conversation because he was the team. He was
right.
The offense. If he wasn't running around there doing schoolyard plays, going, hey, Kevin, run left by the car and then hang a right. I'm going to jerk around here for like 38 minutes avoiding 18,000 rushers, and then I'll find you. Because that's what he was doing.
Right.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I guess that's more on the offensive line, but even the defense underperformed last year. Bottom line is, I think they're probably doing the right thing, assuming they can give it a year or two, you know,
right,
where they don't play so well, and they get the right guys, which is probably the harder the harder option.
I think the only thing that would be a little discouraging, sometimes you have to reset. It's just you don't want to waste years of Russell Wilson, and you really don't want to waste years of Russell Wilson behind a putrid offensive line and letting him take beatings for a 7-9 record. I think that would be a really poor scenario. I think the last person I can even remember being cut and then going back to the same team, I think Justin Forsett did it for the Ravens.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, no, not great at not great at all. One of the reasons why we're talking about the power shift, right? Richard Sherman looks like he's going to be set to move in Seattle. There's a number of teams that are interested, but he gets to stay in Cali. He gets to stay in the NFC West. They've got a ton of cap space. The scheme that San Francisco is trying to build is supposed to mirror the image of what the Legion of Boom was. So it all makes a ton of sense. Another big cornerback move that you had was Aqib Talib being traded for just a 5th-round pick, which I guess because of the way the cap is. I mean, Denver didn't want him, but it still feels cheap to me. Aqib Talib now is on the Rams. They have completely, I don't want to say completely overhauled their secondary, but now their top two corners are Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, which is freaking incredible.
It is, but you also got two heavy personalities too.
Oh, yeah.
That should be interesting. You're looking at it from the Broncos point of view. First thing I thought of was this. Is this one of the moves they have to make to sign Cousins? Because if they did want to sign Cousins, and I really do think Elway wants to sign him. We know that Emmanuel Sanders and Von Miller have gone all media press tour trying to get Cousins to sign there, but they need to get cap room. Mm-hmm. So Talib, trading him does get you some cap room. You would need to make more moves here. The problem is this, Kevin, hey, you're Kirk Cousins. Unless you're dying to sign with Denver, that's when you want to play for Elway, you love Denver, you love skiing, you love the Rockies, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Unless you're dying to do all that, you have to realize now, okay, I think Denver is a good team, right? Very good defense, good offensive players. I got Demaryius Thomas, I can throw to Sanders, so I'll have good options to throw to. But if they have to keep getting rid of players in order to sign me, well, that defense isn't going to be as good as it used to be. So maybe they're not a playoff team now, which is why I keep going back to Minnesota. Because they, no matter what, if he signs there, they are a good team.
Yep.
Granted, they're going to have to compete with the Eagles now, and the Rams look great, and the Packers are always good. So it won't be easy, but I understand what Denver had to do here. Maybe Talib and his issues, and like I said, he's a volatile personality. That crap he had going on with Michael Crabtree and the chain was ridiculous.
And apparently they're playing again this year. Rams play the Raiders, so we get that again.
Probably, I don't think Crabtree's going to be there. So I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, so maybe he has to go to another team. But I'll tell you one thing. Whatever team Crabtree ends up on, if he's playing the Rams, I'll be watching that game.
Absolutely. It's funny that they've actually built themselves a little bit of a rivalry there. George, I want to ask you about something. Before I do that, I want to tell you about DKMS. LeBron James, a 4-time NBA MVP. Mike Trout, a 2-time AL MVP. While you'll never be either of them, you can still be an MVP of your own because you can save someone's life by going to DKMS.org/fantasy. Today, you can learn what you can do to help. 6 out of every 10 patients will not receive a bone marrow transplant. We want to change that, and it all starts with you at DKMS.org/fantasy. It's FNTSY, DKMS.org/FNTSY. You can register to become a bone marrow donor, and it only takes 1 minute. You can sign up online, and DKMS will send you the swab kit. You swab your cheeks, you send it back to DKMS, and that's it. It is that easy. So please check out DKMS.org/FNTSY and join more than 950,000 others that have signed up to be bone marrow donors. Now, the reason, George, I picked that read is because there's something going on that is, it's complete fool's gold, but I wanted to talk about it because I think it's at least interesting to talk about from my fantasy perspective if it were to ever happen in a billion years, which it won't. LeBron James is currently being recruited by Juju Smith-Schuster, the Steelers wide receiver, to come play tight end for the Steelers. Now, again, it will not happen, but if it did and he was a tight end, realistically, knowing how excited people get and how big of a star LeBron is, how high do you think he would go in terms of tight ends?
I mean, tight end's pretty deep. And most leagues, and overwhelming majority of leagues, we only start one tight end. So I don't think he'd be picked in most leagues.
You don't think so?
Any competitive leagues.
I mean, I understand in the expert leagues, I guess they would steer away, but I feel like they would force him the ball on the goal line a ton.
It's, you know, it's not quite that easy. I mean, we all say this, right? I mean, it's not quite, I'm just going to show up and play football. You know, no problem. You know, it's Michael Jordan, the years ago, I'm just going to play some baseball. You sucked. You know, so it's just not that easy. I mean, there are very few Bo Jacksons and Deion Sanders of the world who do both. And even Deion wasn't all that great. I know I'm dating myself here. Deion wasn't all that great a baseball player. That's the option he'd be, right? A goal line guy. Go up there and throw the ball high to him and let him go up there and catch it. Don't rebound it, just catch it. So it'd be funny. It'd be a spectacle.
It would be a spectacle. It would be
but
so.
What, you know, what about those games where defense is playing? They'll game plan for it too. They'll be able to stop him. And then he's not going to be a big catch guy. He's not going to catch, you know, six passes for 82 yards. He'd be a one catch, 1 yard, one touchdown, 7 points. Congratulations.
It's never going to happen, but I wonder how the process will be for him because, I mean, he played in high school. He was great, but he got hurt, and that's why he was like, all right, I got to play basketball. I mean, obviously, basketball was the correct choice, but I wonder how that process would go for him. I mean, he's 33. It's not young, but he seems to be in still his peak physical condition. And, I mean, he has some football experience. Obviously, what he was able to do at high school against clearly overmatched kids will not compare to what would happen in the NFL. But if the Steelers actually committed to it, I wonder what would happen. I wonder if Mike Blewett would be furious about the circus or would actually be interested in how it would go.
There's no way Pittsburgh would do this because, once again, the circus is a big. I mean, Pittsburgh is a very professional organization here. we're not talking about Jerry Jones here trying to make a spectacle.
George, aren't you a Cowboys fan?
Oh, I'm a Cowboys. I hate Jerry Jones.
Well, so is LeBron though. See, that was the one thing is I was like, if he actually decided, he might pick. What if he came to Dallas? Would you be furious?
Furious? No, I mean, but I don't want the spectacle. I don't want the sideshow.
It would be.
When it comes to Jerry Jones, he's a great businessman. Mm-hmm. And this would be a very good business decision because you'd get eyeballs on the team. You know, ratings would go through the roof. So teams want to watch and want to see him in practice. People would show up to all this. But as far as helping your football team, how would LeBron James getting any kind of reps in anywhere help your football team? That's my issue with it all. He wouldn't do that.
I think that's fair. It's complete fantasy. He's going to be choosing between like the Sixers, the Cavs, the Lakers, and the Rockets. Not the Steelers and the Cowboys. But it would be wild to see. Hour one down. Hour two coming back here. Fantasy Sports Today. Kevin Walsh, George Kurtz. We'll be back after this.